The three men involved in the Coots border blockade have been found guilty of mischief by a jury and could face up to 10 years in prison. The Liberal government plans on creating a federal plastics registry to track the sale and distribution of any and all plastic products. Canada's first ever supposed transgender military chaplain has been suspended for alleged sexual harassment. The Ontario Court of Justice now requires all court participants to state their preferred pronouns. Our goal, as always, is to bring you news, culture, and politics from a distinctly Christian, conservative, and Canadian perspective. It's April 30th. I'm Andrew DiBartolo. This is Liberty Dispatch News Brief. Friends, our first stop in Weston, Nova Scotia for the Politics in the Pulpit Conference was a raging success. But 150 people registered, and more than half the people there were not from the host church, which means, hopefully, the broader church in Nova Scotia will be equipped. The sessions were challenging and informative. The Q&A was quite spicy, and the food was utterly fantastic. We still have two more locations to go where you can register and attend. We're going to be in Ingersoll, Ontario on May the 4th, which is this weekend, and New Westminster, British Columbia on May the 25th, the end of May. Registration for Ingersoll will be ending this Wednesday, May the 1st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. You have about a day and a half to register, and you need to do so because seats are filling up. We've had about 40 people register just in the last day or so for Ingersoll, Ontario. Head over to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit and register today. If you'd like to donate toward the cost of the conference, then you can email us at churches@libertycoalitioncanada.com. We will direct you. We are excited also for the vendors that will be there. Action for Canada will be there. The Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform will be there. The Christian Heritage Party will be there. And we will have resources from the Ezra Institute specifically geared toward helping us think biblically about politics, about the state. Again, libertycoalitioncanada.com/politics-in-the-pulpit. Register today. You are most definitely not going to want to miss this one.
Did you know that Salesforce, HubSpot, and MailChimp have been censoring Christian and conservative voices? SalesNexus is the only email marketing solution engineered to protect your freedom of speech. SalesNexus is everything your team needs in one easy-to-use package. SalesNexus has the tools to measure and automate everything. Try SalesNexus free for 30 days and get two users for the price of one with promo code SUCCESS.
Three men have been found guilty for their role in the 2022 Coots border blockade on charges of mischief over $5,000. Marco Van Hugenbos, Alex Van Herk, and George Jansen face up to 10 years in jail. The judge's sentencing is expected later this summer. Now, the Coots border protest was a two-week blockade on Highway 4 at Coots, a village on the Canada-US border. It emerged alongside the Freedom Convoy, though it was distinct from it. Now, the Crown has accused the trio, dubbed the Coots Three by supporters, of leading protesters to block the border. Lawyers for the accused countered, saying that the men didn't organize protesters, that they may have ended up becoming intermediaries and go-betweens for the RCMP, but they didn't organize the protests originally. So in closing arguments, Crown Prosecutor Stephen Johnson said this, quote, "The right to protest does not let you lay siege to property for 2 weeks. It was not their highway to close," close quote. We heard this rhetoric in Ottawa. It's a siege. It's an occupation. It's not true. It's just inflammatory language to try to drum up fear and ideas of some sort of criminal activity that's happening, but that's not actually the case. Nevertheless, Stephen Johnson added, quote, "One act, one statement of encouragement can be enough to convict," close quote. He also said this, quote, "The Crown does not have to prove these men were leaders," close quote. The Crown also said that the men's use of, quote, "we, our, and us," close quote, in Coots videos were evidence of their role in the blockade. So let's put this all together. According to prosecutors, simply encouraging people to protest, which, by the way, is a right protected by our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that's enough to get you put into jail. Whether or not you're a leader of the protest, whether or not you organized it, and if you say words like we, us, our, in the kind of collective plural sense. So we wait for sentencing, which will be coming hopefully this summer. Moving on to some more absurdity. The Liberal government has announced a mandatory federal plastics registry to force companies to declare all plastics used in products and monitor all plastics throughout their life cycle. Reporting to the Federal Plastics Registry would start in September of 2025, with phase one of a four-phase plan going up to and beyond 2027, which for anyone who is paying attention understands that this means more bureaucracy, more tax consumers by way of government employees, more regulations, more wasting of our money, more tyranny. And really, the state seems like it wants to be God. I mean, to have this kind of omniscient, omnipotent, we're everywhere, we know everything. Every ounce of plastic you produce, from birth to natural death, we want to have eyes on it. This is a little bit of the state continuing its march to assert its own godness in Canada. Nevertheless, this is from the Government of Canada's own website. Quote, "The Federal Plastics Registry will require companies, including resin manufacturers, service providers, and producers of plastic products, to report annually on the quantity and types of plastic they manufacture, import, and place on the market. Producers of plastic products and service providers will also be required to report on the quantity of plastic collected for diversion, reused, repaired, remanufactured, refurbished, recycled, processed into chemicals, composted, incinerated, and landfilled. Reporting on the amount of packaging and other plastic waste generated on industrial, commercial, and institutional premises will be mandatory." Close. In other words, friends, get used to your paper straws and your wooden sporks, because they're probably going to be here for a while. Moving on, how about a little bit of 1984 coming to fruition in Canada? How about a little Orwellian dystopianness right here in the True North, Strong and Free? Île de la Madeleine in the Gulf of St. Lawrence has become the first municipality in Canada to officially require a QR code to enter and leave. Officials say that the requirement of a QR code to enter or leave the archipelago will only be for tourists, while residents will be required to show their driver's license to enter or leave, which is not that much better for anyone who cares about their liberties. Now, officials are saying that the reason behind this is to ensure that visitors pay their $30 fee to enter and leave. If you don't pay, then you don't get the QR code and you won't be able to leave. Now, this was initially intended for residents as well, but following massive criticism, and rightfully so, officials backed down and now say that residents only have to show their driver's license. Now, residents are critical of the policy, understandably so, saying that they should be able to come and go freely as their charter rights are supposed to guarantee. Right, Section 6 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees that Canadian citizens are allowed to travel within, exit, and then enter the country without being accosted or held without cause. Now, as awful as this is, this actually isn't the first time that citizens have had to provide papers in order to travel across Canadian jurisdictions. I remember when I wasn't able to hop on a bus or a train and enter into another province because I couldn't provide my proof of injection. I also remember one Sunday morning going to church, getting off of the 401 and having officers there making sure that everyone in the vehicle was living in the same household, because you weren't supposed to be traveling in cars with people that you didn't live with to go to places to break the law. So the stage has already been set. I mean, what's shocking is that this is happening outside of the crazy, deadly pandemic that's going to kill us all. So that's why this is particularly jarring. But it should have been just as jarring when this happened a couple years ago. And unfortunately, it wasn't for a lot of people. They just accepted it. So the foundation has been laid for the state saying, we can control where you go, and we can cut off your ability to travel freely within the country if we justify it with any kind of means. So it'll also be curious to see what happens coming up this fall. Matt and I reported several years ago now on Oxfordshire County in London that they were going to be beginning a kind of test or a little bit of a sample, a trial run of a 15-minute city in the fall of 2024. They were going to be setting up cameras, electronic gates, saying that you can't leave the county unless you have express permission and not for more than a certain number of calendar days. So we have to check up on how that's going, because the fall of 2024 is not that far away. So this will be another example of seeing what kind of totalitarianism looks like, and we'll see the success or if they drop it altogether. But we'll look into that and we'll keep you posted. Burnt coffee is bitter. But you know what else is bitter? Drinking coffee you purchase from people who hate you and your way of life. So stop buying coffee from people who hate you. Instead, you should buy your coffee from Resistance Coffee. How about you try some Mischief Makers, a custom blended medium roast for the dissidents and prisoners of conscience? Or how about Home and Hearth, a single origin light roast for all those who remind us of what we're fighting for? That's my favorite. I'm a light roast kind of guy. They're all delicious. I've had them all though, but the light roast I find especially delicious. Head over to resistancecoffee.com. We are thrilled to be partnering with Resistance Coffee, and we want to offer you, our listeners and supporters, the promo code Liberty10. That's the word Liberty and the number 10. You get 10% off your orders at checkout. That's coffee, merch. Hopefully they'll be adding some hats and maybe some mugs soon as well. We talked about that with Alex when we had him on the show. ResistanceCoffee.com. Use that promo code Liberty10, the word Liberty, number 10. Get fueled for the resistance today. Let's talk about Alberta, you know, the Texas of Canada, the bastion of freedom and clear thinking. Well, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Alberta Health Services has updated its guidance on COVID booster shots to an extra shot after 3 months, beginning with six-month-old immunocompromised babies. That works out to about 320 doses for the average lifespan, unless the guidance is updated again. Keep in mind, we're in the spring of 2024, and they are still saying that you should get a COVID booster every 3 months in Alberta. Now, this was on the AHS website. Quote, starting April 15, 2024, select groups of Albertans at high risk of severe outcomes from COVID-19 will be eligible for an additional dose, close quote. According to Alberta health officials, quote, all vaccines are safe, effective, and save lives, close quote. And it doesn't matter if a patient takes a COVID booster before, after, or at the same time as a flu shot, according to AHS. AHS also says that the boosters, quote, are anticipated to provide a good immune response against currently circulating strains, close quote. Everything I just read is a pile of flaming hot garbage. That's all a lie. It's all a lie. They're not safe. They're not even vaccines. They're not vaccines. They're not safe. They're not effective. They don't save lives. That is all demonstrably false. They don't give you a good immune response. They actually make you have immune deficiency with immune imprinting. They actually make it so that you are more likely to get COVID and get it worse and get it for longer. And you're more likely to actually spread it as well. So it's all a lie. And it's more lies from the Canadian medical industrial complex, from the province that's supposed to be, again, the wild, wild west of Canada, the Texas of the North, but apparently not. Statism's everywhere. Progressivism is everywhere. Even in so-called conservatives, the reality is this progressive, woke, cultural behemoth has taken over all the institutions and all levels, all the levers of power in our country have all been subsumed under and devoured by this this extreme woke monster in Canada. Next, we have this story from LifeSite News. Quote, the Canadian Department of National Defense has suspended a transgender military chaplain it previously celebrated after he reportedly sought to grope a male soldier at the Royal Military College while drunk. On March 28th, the government highlighted Canadian Armed Forces Captain Beatrice Gale, that's his fake female name, a man who identifies as a woman, for International Transgender Day of Visibility. He is the military's first openly transgender chaplain. However, Gale's chaplaincy has been revoked following a hearing finding he made an inappropriate comment or request to another individual. Gale was determined to have violated the Queen's regulations and orders by behaving in a manner that adversely affects the discipline, efficiency, or morale of the Canadian forces. The specific details of the offense have not been officially confirmed, but according to an anonymous source, he became inebriated at dinner and asked to grope a male lieutenant's buttocks. The mandate for Captain Gale to serve as a Canadian military chaplain remains suspended. The chaplain general will consider the implications of the summary hearing's outcome to determine if additional administrative actions within their authority are required, said Department of Defense spokesperson Andre Anne Poulin. Gale was docked 2 days pay and 20 days leave and is currently on administrative duty, close quote. So this really is an indictment on the entire chaplain institution within the military, because the fact that the chaplain, which is essentially supposed to be a Christian pastor to the soldiers, to encourage them, to build them up when they are crushed under the weight of responsibility, when they find themselves devastated by the reality of war, as they're away from their family, as their faith might be wavering. This is the job of the chaplain, to encourage, to build up in faith, to be a pastor, a shepherd to them while they're away from their shepherd at home. But here the chaplains are saying, yeah, we can have a bunch of woke, evil, confused, fairy tale playing pretend men serve as chaplains. Oh, and by the way, when they do something like this, we'll just give them a little slap on the wrist. Because in that same LifeSite News article, which we'll link to, some people have commented that other chaplains who've done way less have been punished way more. But obviously, you can only do so much with the woke culture around you. And then we have this story of Dr. Terrence Davids, a Christian physician working in Saskatoon. Last December, a woman came into the clinic to be assessed by Dr. Davids. However, this wasn't to check on her progress, but rather to assess her in order to have another doctor dismember and murder the baby through elected infanticide. Now, Dr. Davids asked the woman if she believed in God and said that she should reconsider and not go through with murdering her child. Now, while reasonable people say that this seems like a man concerned with innocent, vulnerable human life, and also the consequences of the woman who would be engaged in intentional murder, what Dr. Davids failed to understand is that he was speaking against the God of consequence-free sex and sexual enjoyment. And by doing so, he was committing blasphemy according to the progressive prophets. And as such, he must be punished according to leftist law. Therefore, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Saskatchewan has accused Dr. Davids of committing a crime and charged him with unprofessional conduct. He will face a hearing in the coming weeks, and if found guilty, he could lose his license to practice medicine and do his job to help save lives. But when you speak against the false gods that mark the spirit of the age, only the swiftest and gravest penalties will suffice. Now, this last story is another example of the absolute silliness going on in our country right now. The Ontario Court of Justice issued a notice to the profession and the public announcing that it will require all parties to state their preferred pronouns upon their introduction to the judge at any in-person or virtual event. Lawyers must also state the pronouns of their clients, witnesses, or any other individual who is called before the court. This is from the court's press release. Quote, at the beginning of any in-person, virtual, or hybrid hearings, when lawyers are introducing themselves, their client, a witness, or another individual, they should provide the judge or justice of the peace with each person's name, name, title, example, Mr., Mrs., Mix, MX, first time I've heard that, MX is a title, I'm Mix, whatever, counsel X, and pronouns to be used in the hearing. If counsel does not provide this information in their introduction, they may be invited by a court clerk to provide this information. At the beginning of each court session, court clerks have been asked by Court Services Division to announce that parties appearing before the court are invited to provide their title and pronouns to the court, close quote. True North News had this to say, quote, some argue this change in practice will make it easier for biological males who identify as women to be tried as women, therefore allowing them to serve any potential jail time in a women's jail or prison. According to Heather Mason, a former federal prisoner and founding member of Canadian Women's Sex-Based Rights, 44% of men in prison who identify as women are sex offenders. Mason said this, so every time I get a name, I request their parole document, and the majority of them are dangerous offenders or they have long sentences and they can't get parole, so what they're doing is because they can't get out, then all of a sudden they're requesting to transfer to a women's prison. Close quote. Now, I have a friend of mine who actually has to be appearing in court this summer because he's testifying in a particular case, and he told me that his plan, I love this guy, that his plan is going to be something to the effect of, I know what your policy is, but it should be pretty obvious what I am. I'm not going to play your game. I am as God has made me, which is a man, and so you can refer to me as he, him, because I am a man, and it's objectively true. This is how God has made me, which I think is fantastic. That's exactly right. Don't play the game. Don't believe the lie. Stand on truth. Do what's right. Maintain your integrity. And don't give the lefties the ground. When we give them the ground, we lose. It's not abortion. It's not abortion. It's infanticide. It's preborn baby murder. Don't give them the ground. It's not homosexuality. There is no such thing as a homosexual person. Human beings produce heterosexually. Our sexuality, there is no homosexuality. Men and women come together to create new life. We reproduce sexually with the other of the species, male and female. There's no such thing as homosexual. It is sodomy. They are sodomites. And that, by the way, includes women. Old dictionaries, which if you don't have one, I would encourage you get one, something that was written before the 1980s. But if you look up sodomy in an old dictionary, it will say any unnatural sexual practice, especially to men, but any engagement in sexuality that is not as God has designed it is sodomy. So it's not homosexuality. It's sodomy. It's not abortion. It's preborn baby murder. It's not transgenderism. We would use this as we discuss to make sense of it, but there is no such thing as a transgender person. There are people who've suppressed the truth of the knowledge of God and unrighteousness, and because of their sin and their sickness, it being because they've allowed this, they've propagated, they believed the lie, they've stepped into it, they're merely sinful and confused, right? Don't give them the language. We need to hold on what's true. So as Canada gets crazier, it becomes increasingly obvious how necessary it is to have a solid and stable home and family, a godly and faithful church, and a community of like-minded believers to take care of each other in the days ahead. The way forward, friends, isn't anything novel or flashy. It's everyday obedience, loving God with all of who we are, and loving others as well. There you have it, friends. You are all up to date. Make sure you head to libertycoalitioncanada.com/politicsinthepulpit and register for our Politics in the Pulpit conference today. I look forward to seeing those of you who will be there this weekend in Ingersoll, Ontario. Come say hi. bring your spiciest questions. You have until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on this Wednesday, May the 1st, to register. Also, make sure you join us in New Westminster, British Columbia on May 25th. That is also going to be a treat. You are not going to want to miss this conference. If the other two are anything like our time in Nova Scotia, it will be tremendous. It will be edifying. And the broader Canadian church will be strengthened to engage well in the days ahead. I look forward to seeing you there. Until next time, Galatians 5:1. Liberty Dispatch has been brought to you in partnership with Liberty Coalition Canada and Christian Week, and has been produced by SDG Media. You can find all things Liberty Coalition Canada at libertycoalitioncanada.com.